From WKAR's Studio S at Michigan State University, this is Current Sports.
What is up, beautiful people? You are now tuned into WKAR's Current Sports. I am your host, Al Martin. On this Thursday, February 4th, 2016, we've got a great show in store for you all as we will be inviting Mike Haynes, who is an NFL Hall of Famer that played for the New England Patriots and the LA Raiders. And folks, today is a very important day, because it is World Cancer Day. That's right. We're bringing Mike on not only to talk football, but to talk about his battle with prostate cancer, one in which he did win and is now an advocate for, pushing for, when it comes to just broadening our knowledge about what we know about cancer, specifically today about prostate cancer. With it being World Cancer Day, we're also going to do something pretty cool. We want you guys to call in and maybe give a tribute to anyone that you know who is currently battling cancer or who has beaten cancer or, again, maybe even some who have passed away. So a very touching show today. You don't want to miss that chat with Mike Haynes. He is always fantastic. We will recap last night's Michigan State women's basketball game as the Spartans took care of Michigan at home at the Breslin Center. You'll get to hear from Susie Merchant and Ariel Powers in just a second. Also, we'll put finally a ribbon on signing day. Yes, it was a crazy day yesterday, folks. You'll hear from D'Antonio due to his press conference that he held at 3 o'clock. All of that and so much more. Throwback Thursday, we'll talk about Steph Curry's 51. But hey, before we get to all of that jazz, here are your Current Sports Quick Hit Headliners. All right, speaking of signing day, just want to note a few of our local football players that signed on that dotted line yesterday that committed to play at a respective school. Mark Brooks of Portland, he will be taking his talents to Western Michigan. Evan Kahn of DeWitt, Wayne State. Reed Burton from East Lansing High, he'll be playing for Michigan State, kind of a local connection with one of the assistant coaches for the Spartan football team. Malik Bush of East Lansing, he'll be taking his talents to Michigan Tech. Jace Diminoff of Ithaca, Grand Valley. Tony Palmer of Lansing Catholic, Northern Michigan. Tony Poljan of Lansing Catholic, of course, he'll be playing at CMU. B.J. Powell of East Lansing, Ferris State. Blake Rowe of Hazlitt, Northern Michigan. And Jake Smith of Ithaca, he's a smart one, Harvard. Congratulations to all of those commits and more. We'll have more on signing day in just a second. Ariel Powers scored 27 points in number 17. Michigan State was perfect on 19 free throws in defeating Michigan 84-64 on Wednesday night. Powers was 9 of 12 shooting and now has 1,502 career points in three seasons, passing Kristen Ramanusen from 96 to 2000. For eighth on the all-time Michigan State list, this is the fifth time in school history that MSU has shot 100% from the charity stripe, bettering the previous mark of 14 of 14 set on February 9th of 2003. The Spartans are alone in third place in the Big Ten, a game in back of Ohio State and Maryland. Michigan State now prepares for a tough road trip as they travel to Maryland this Friday at 7 p.m. Michigan defensive end Tom Strobel announced on Instagram yesterday that he will be transferring to Ohio University for his final year of eligibility. Strobel played primarily as a defensive end last year. However, he was also used as a tight end at times. Strobel recorded 6 tackles over 3 seasons with the Wolverines. The Detroit Pistons dropped their game last night against the Boston Celtics, 102-95, the final of that one. The Pistons trail 56-36 at halftime and were never able to erase the deficit. Reggie Jackson scored 17 points and had 7 assists, while Andre Drummond poured in 16 points and 13 boards. The Pistons will be looking to get back on track tonight on primetime nationally televised action, taking on Carmelo Anthony and the Knicks. 7:30 tip time on TNT. Reports have surfaced that indicate Pistons center Andre Drummond will be competing in this year's Verizon Slam Dunk Contest. The other rumored participants are Denver's Will Barton, Orlando's Aaron Gordon, and last year's returning champion, Zach LaVine, representing the Minnesota Timberwolves. The contest will be a part of next weekend's All-Star Skills competition in Toronto on Saturday of next week. The Golden State Warriors, they beat the Washington Wizards last night, 134-121, and Steph Curry just completely put on a show. His second 50-point game of the year, he put up 51 points, 17 of them in the first 7 minutes of the game. Curry tied his career high in franchise record of 11 three-pointers. He leads the NBA with 8 40-point games this year and just became the first player this season to score 30 points in a half, scoring 36 in the first half of that one. Are you kidding me? MSU alum Draymond Green also played lights out, getting his 10th triple-double of the year. That now leads the league and ties the franchise record, I should say, for the Warriors. And keep in mind that he still has 33 games left. Special teams were the difference, as the Red Wings, they fell to the Tampa Bay Lightning 3-1. Two straight power play goals in the third period for Tampa Bay doomed the Red Wings, who went 0-2 on the man advantage in the third. The Wings now drop to third in the Atlantic Division, 58 points, 2 points behind the second-place Lightning, who now have 60. And last but not least, the U.S. Soccer Federation has sued the union of the women's soccer team due to fears the team may strike ahead of this year's Olympics. USSF, quote, reluctantly filed the suit, confirmed the existence of a collective bargaining agreement. According to statements by the USSF, they fear that the absence of a CBA will lead to the women's team striking from this year's activities, including the 2016 Olympics. Well, that wraps up your current sports quick hit headliners. Call in to be a part of the show. 517-355-9527. 517-355-9527. Let the show begin.
Had a demeanor about us that, you know, this was going to go our way and we're going to make sure. I thought we did a good job in transition defense, which was a big part of what we had to accomplish, their high-scoring offensive team. So we had to take that part away. And then I think overall, you know, when they're junking you like that, you know, they have a triangle and two, and you're not going to guard Brandy Agee. It was just nice to see, you know, a kid in the past we maybe wouldn't step up, and Brandy was phenomenal tonight and set the tone. She started 5 seconds into the game with just step in front layup. So, you know, for us, it really was more of a focus of let's make sure we're not worried about what they're in. Let's worry about staying in an attack mode, regardless of what it was, whether they were in zone or man. And so getting off to a hot start wasn't really something we talked about. We just wanted to play with high energy, enthusiasm, aggression out of the gates on both ends of the floor.
Every win, I think, brings up our confidence. And we've been doing better in each. I mean, we've been getting better every game. So now that we're about to face Maryland, we're just ready to go, honestly.
Welcome to WKAR's Current Sports. Welcome to the show. I am your host, Al Martin. Happy Thursday. This week is just flying by. I tell you, folks, again, time flies when you're having fun. We always have fun from 1 to 2 p.m. weekdays here on WKAR AM 870. Before we move on and talk about this really good Michigan State women's basketball team, I want to remind you all that you can catch Current Sports TV tonight on WKAR-TV at 10:30 p.m. I had one fantastic chat with former Michigan State men's basketball player Alex Gauna, who hails from right here in mid-Michigan, Eden Rapids High School, to be exact. I tell you, Alex, he's pretty good. He's pretty good on the air. I had a fantastic chat with him. He talked about, of course, his basketball career with Michigan State, being a highly touted recruit for the Greyhounds, and also being a father. Fantastic chat with Alex. You don't want to miss it. Again, you can catch that tonight on WKAR-TV. Again, my guest, Alex Gauna, former Michigan State baller, who is now an assistant coach with first-year head coach of a Lansing Catholic boys basketball team under Eric Trojanowicz. So now he's a coach as well. So you don't want to miss that, folks. Also, we will be taking your calls throughout this entire hour, just like we have throughout the week. Of course, it is February. It is Oscars month. The Oscars taking place on February 28th. And in honor of the Oscars, we are having a battle of the best sports movies of all time, eventually crowning the number one sports movie of all time. And this week, again, just to give you guys the list really briefly here, 1 through 10, number 1, 1 through 10 in this particular order. Number 1, Rocky, the Rocky series. 2, Hoosiers. 3, Raging Bull. 4, Hoop Dreams. 5, Remember the Titans. 6, Caddyshack. 7, Rudy. 8, The Mighty Ducks. 9, The Karate Kid. And 10, Moneyball. This week, we've got the Rocky series battling it out against Moneyball. And right now, it's a complete blowout. The Rocky series has 5 votes. Moneyball, a donut. None. So I think the Rocky series is going to win this one in a landslide. If you want to weigh in on that, 517-355-9527. Also, folks, it is World Cancer Day today, a day in which many of us out there, if not all of us out there, have been affected directly or indirectly by this heinous disease. I know I always tell my personal story. A direct connection that I have with this disease concerns the man who taught me how to be a man, my grandfather. He actually passed away in December of 2011, my junior year of college. We'll never forget it. He had prostate cancer, fought it vehemently, but eventually succumbed. He lived a great life, though, a great life, a long and fulfilling life. And he is certainly a spirit that I carry with me every single day I wake up. But many of us have been affected by cancer in some way, shape, or form. And it is going to be my privilege to welcome to the show, I believe this is his second time gracing our airwaves. His name is Mike Haynes. He is an NFL Hall of Fame cornerback that played for the New England Patriots and the LA Raiders. He is also, folks, a prostate cancer survivor who is linked up with the Know Your Stats campaign that is, of course, privied with educating us all out there about cancer and about what this disease means to our society when it comes to really just going out there, getting checked, and once you know your stats, if you will, you can go about fighting it or about living a healthier life. So you don't want to miss my chat with Mike. He will talk about his battle with prostate cancer. He will talk about winning that battle against prostate cancer. And he will also talk about how you can be educated to make sure that you are living the healthiest life that you can. And to just know your status when it comes to this disease in any realm, in any shape or form, when it comes to other cancer forms out there. So you don't want to miss that. But I want to start off the show by talking to some MSU women's basketball folks. Again, phone lines are open, 517-355-9527, 517-355-9527. I was in the house last night after recording Current Sports TV to check out the Michigan State women's basketball team as they played host to the Michigan Wolverines. It was a trouncing, a pummeling, just a complete blowout last night at the Breslin Center, 85-64, the final of that game last night. And I tell you what, folks, this is what now, 5 straight for Susie Merchant and her women's basketball squad. And this has to be, and you know, I've been covering this team for, 4 or 5 years dating back to college. This has to be the most entertaining team I've seen Susie have. I mean, it's so fun to watch this squad. And I was sitting there next to Ernie Boone, who is, of course, writer for the Michigan Chronicle. And Ernie and I were just sitting there watching this squad as they started to really lengthen that lead out. At one point, it was like up to a 36-point lead. As much as 29, excuse me. I read that wrong. 29-point lead. And I'm sitting there next to Ernie, and Ernie just made a comment. He's just like, Al, this team is so fun to watch. And they are. They are, because they have so many individuals that can burn you in a variety of ways. And last night, I got to be honest, even though, you know, we talk about Ariel Powers a lot here on the broadcast, she was fantastic last night. Again, another day at the office for Powers. 27 points, 9 of 12 shooting, 8 rebounds, another day at the office for the reigning Big Ten Player of the Week. But the X factor for me last night, and really you can make this argument that she has been the X factor for much of this year right now. I mean, what are we? They're 17-4 overall, so they're certainly in the thick of things when it comes to their schedule as they, you know, come down the stretch of this year. Brandi Agee, though, throughout much of this season, has been the clear X factor for this team. She had a career high 20 points last night. She was one of 4 Spartans to score in double figures. And she was just an energy bunny. Anytime they needed a spark, when it seemed like Michigan State was slacking in an area or their offense came to a halt or was stagnant, Brandi Agee would just grab the basketball and drive right in the paint and get that emotion pumping. And she plays a lot of emotion, too. I absolutely love her. Brandi Agee is going to be a catalyst for this team as they move forward. And when we're really evaluating this squad now, I mean, very impressive, because when looking at the Big Ten standings, only Maryland and Ohio State stand in Michigan State's way. Michigan State has an 8-2 conference record, and they will take on Maryland this Friday. Of course, that is a game that was postponed due to the blizzard that was named, I think it was Jonas. Jonas came through and really halted things, and Michigan State was not able to play Maryland that week. But the game was rescheduled, and they will play this Friday on the road. And a really tough stretch for Michigan State, because this week will mark 3 games in 5 days for Michigan State. Because after they play number 1 Maryland tomorrow on the road, they then have to take on Iowa on the road on Sunday. So this will certainly be a test for this very, very stout Michigan State women's basketball squad, but they are showing right now that they are clicking on all cylinders and can legitimately beat anybody in the conference. And I haven't even brought up Tori Jankowska, who was fantastic last night. She had 16 points, and she had one of the, maybe the move of the year for this squad, and I think one of the moves of the Big Ten season. I don't know if you guys were able to tune in. I know that game was actually, it wasn't on the Big Ten Network. It was on BTN Plus, where you have to subscribe and watch it online. But Tori Jankowska had a move that had the entire crowd in oohs and ahs last night. She came down on the fast break. She throws the ball behind her back. Her defender reaches for it and goes sailing right in front of her as Tori Jankowska rolls right by her. Another defender comes up in the paint, and she's able to put in a left-handed lay-in, gets bumped, falls to the ground. I mean, it was an unbelievable bucket. Tori Jankowska, she is so fun to watch in the open court, because she has a variety of moves that she can throw at you. And also, Morgan Green, she's also very fun to watch. And I think, you know, with her only being a sophomore, she has tremendous upside. Morgan Green, she's small, but she's tough. So tough, folks. She can shoot. She's got probably the best handles on the team. She was fantastic as well last night. 10 points for her. So Brandi Agee, Ariel Powers, Tori Jankowska, and Morgan Green all in double figures last night. And it started with the defensive end. Defense led to offense for this team last night. They helped Michigan to just 38.6% shooting, 17 points below Michigan's season average. And I thought, you know, another big storyline coming into this game was, how would they slow down the juggernaut that is Caitlin Flattery? Caitlin Flattery right now is amongst the nation's leading scorers in women's college basketball, averaging 22 points per game. Michigan State was able to hold her below her season average right now. Caitlin only had, and I say only with a huge grain of salt, 18 points. 18 points for Caitlin last night. She certainly picked and chose her spots to score. But Michigan State, they were just too much. Too much for the Michigan Wolverines. And if you're a Spartan fan, a good way to start off the rivalry week. Again, the Michigan State ice hockey team, they also take on Michigan starting tomorrow night at the Joe. And then it will be a two-game series. They return to East Lansing for that second game on Saturday. And, of course, we know that the Michigan men's basketball team will take on the Michigan Wolverines on Saturday in Ann Arbor at the Chrysler Center. I will be in the house for that one, so you don't want to miss our coverage from that game. But a good start for rivalry week if you are a Spartan fan, because the ladies just set the tempo last night at the Briz. Folks, our phone lines are open, 517-355-9527. I want to invite right now the man behind the glass, our fantastic engineer of WKAR's Current Sports, Isaac Constance. Isaac, how you doing, brother? Happy Thursday.
Happy Thursday, Al. Speaking of basketball, I just got back from balling out myself. Looked
nice.
A little bit like aerial powers
Stop
on the
it.
Court.
Not even close, but proceed.
But, no, I've been working on my ball handling recently. Really been putting in work this semester to try to get my game up before IM season starts.
Okay. All right. Isaac, you got a good game. You got a solid game, but you know aerial powers. Let's tell
you
that.
Oh, I know that. Yeah. That's just trash talking.
But okay. But yeah, man, I don't know if you caught that game last night, though, man, but it was very, very entertaining. Very entertaining. This is what I say about this team. This team is, and even more so than the men's, even comparing it to Michigan State's men's basketball team, I must say this. I mean, we all know how good the Michigan State men's basketball squad is. I mean, Denzel Valentine is certainly putting up a year in which he can make an argument for National Player of the Year. Right now, I personally think it's Buddy Hield's to lose. Buddy Hield is putting up numbers that are just eye-popping right now at Oklahoma. But, I mean, to go back to my point, though, this Michigan State men's basketball team is so fun to watch. But on the contrary, if you haven't checked out Susie Merchant's squad, you are missing out, point blank, period. And, again, it's going to be an interesting stretch because, you know, they are one loss behind Maryland and Ohio State. And, again, playing Maryland, a team that has a lot of individuals they could throw at you, this is going to be a short test for this squad, not only because they're playing number one Maryland, but because of you're playing three games in 5 days. I mean, what is that, like 2 days of rest in between games? So, a very interesting stretch, but on quite the contrary here, when evaluating Susie's team last year, I mean, I always bring up this to Susie, and certainly she chuckles about it, because I remember last year when this team had to look to the Michigan State volleyball roster to pull a body. And they had so many injuries. They were so depleted. I had never seen Susie so frustrated with the squad. But now, with a full roster that can go very, very deep, you gotta tip your cap to what Susie has been able to show this year, if she has a healthy list of bodies. So going to be a fun game, though, tomorrow at Maryland. Call in, folks, 517-355-9527, 517-355-9527. How about we put a bow on signing day, shall we? Of course, yesterday was signing day. It was quite the event out in Ann Arbor, signing with the Stars. I mean, Derek Jeter, Tom Brady, Jim Leland, the rap group duo Migos was also in town. I don't know if you guys saw, but Jim Leland also did a dab. Can you believe that, right? I never thought I'd see Jim Leland dabbing. Unbelievable there. Lou Holtz, Todd McShay, Mike Shanahan. I mean, it was really an unbelievable event out in Ann Arbor for signing day. And in contrast to that, Mark D'Antonio held his press conference at 3 p.m. at Spartan Stadium. Such a bore. It was really a bore, I must say. Just really going down the list of recruits and, you know, listing the strengths and the weaknesses and so on and so forth, and his overall thoughts about, you know, his class. But it's just such the contrary, Isaac. When you look at just the press conference that Michigan State had at 3 p.m., lasted about, 2 hours, because the assistant coaches were also there. And compare that to the hoopla that ensued out in Ann Arbor. Just pretty comical, if you ask me. Pretty comical.
Well, Mardi Gras is on next Tuesday, and it looks like Michigan brought a little bit of taste of it up to Ann Arbor, because that was ridiculous. There's never been a showing like that before, for recruiting especially. You and I were talking. Michigan was having a recruiting event, signing with the Stars. I alone had never heard of a recruiting event, let alone something of this magnitude, of this reach, and it's absolutely unbelievable what Michigan did, bringing all these guys together. And we talked about it yesterday with Rico. But this changes the game of recruiting for every other college in the nation. Now it's going to be, how do you match that? Alabama's going to start doing it. LSU's going to start doing it. USC's going to start doing it. Texas is going to start doing it. Then in a couple years, you'll see schools like Michigan State adopt it, just because that will become the standard, the requirement, if you want to land big-name players.
I do think, and you know, now that I've had some time to let that thought marinate about whether or not we'll see a huge ripple effect when it comes to other schools adopting this, I don't know. I'm going to have to temper that a little bit. Rico made the statement that he thinks that we'll automatically start to see tons of schools doing a signing of the stars event in the coming years. I think it's going to take some time for it to catch, because first off, I mean, for one day, I mean, how many schools can honestly bring in that amount of firepower for one day? I mean, there's only so many celebrities in the world, isn't there?
Well, that's why I only listed the few that I did.
Yeah,
because
those
are schools with national fan bases and things like that who have all the celebrities following them.
Exactly.
Or Notre Dame in there, too.
Right. You'll see this not from every school in the nation, but I think you will start to see this from, like you said, Isaac, from some of the big schools out there. How much draw this will have is yet to be seen. But I will say this. You have to respect Jim Harbaugh for thinking outside of the box and trying something new and different. Because I must say, it had everybody buzzing. I'm sure the incoming 2016 recruiting class from Michigan thoroughly enjoyed it. I was reading a few quotes from a few of those recruits, and they were just kind of talking about how cool it was for Tom Brady to say his name, whoever that recruit was. I don't know what recruit made the statement. I have to go back and look at the article. But he was like, oh, man, it's so cool. I mean, Tom Brady, I've always looked up to him. And for him to say my name, you know, and announce me coming to Michigan, oh, it's unbelievable. It's got to be such a thrill for a kid to experience a moment like that. And, yeah, it gives Michigan, as far as an overall, from a branding perspective, it certainly makes Michigan look so good. So good. So you got to give a lot of props to Jim Harbaugh for thinking outside the box and doing something like this, because Michigan is setting itself apart from other programs. And the recruiting process, if it allows you to do something like this, why not? Why not? It's all about branding at the end of the day, and it's all about drawing certain recruits. You better believe that, you know, recruits who are, you know, sophomores, freshmen, juniors in college, they looked at an event like that and said, you know what? Wow, that's pretty cool. I may want to take my talents to Michigan, without a doubt. So you got to give major props to Jim Harbaugh. I want to get to a few bites here concerning the Michigan State football signing day. It wasn't an event. It was just a press conference at 3 p.m. at Spartan Stadium. And I want to talk about, you know, Mark D'Antonio really briefly here when it comes to his overall recruiting ranking. Right now, this is Michigan State's third straight top 25 class, the highest ranked since 2000. So in 16 years, this is the highest ranked Michigan State football recruiting class. A ton to smile about. A ton to smile about. But yet again, Michigan State does not crack the top 20. They cracked the top 25. Again, three straight as far as the top 25 is concerned, I should say. But as far as the a top 20 recruiting class, Michigan State's Mark D'Antonio just missed out this year. And here was his reaction to that question.
Oh, just looking at the rankings, Coach, it looks like we're still going to be able to say you don't have a consensus top 20 class. Do you feel like you almost beat the system? Yeah. Do you almost feel like you almost beat the system when you see these recruiting rankings and how so many people tie them to championship caliber?
No, you know, when I retire from here, I'm going to get a job at one of those places, and I'm going to run my own service. Okay. But I don't know, you know. Like I said, you know, numbers have something to do with it sometimes, how many guys you're able to recruit. The bottom line is, at the end of the day, do these guys make it through and play for you 4 and 5 years down the road? Do they win championships? Do they get drafted? Are they playing in the NFL? Do they have their degree? All those type of things. And that's what we're recruiting for. We're recruiting towards those things. Who are they as people? And you know, I can tell you this, the competition, when you're talking about the top 20 and top 25 football programs in the country, whether you're talking on the football field or you're talking in recruiting, the competition is very, very stiff. So we're competing against the right people, and that's what you have to understand. So there's always going to be a give and take, and there's always a pushback. So very excited about this class. Our class is very excited about who they're coming in with and who they're playing for, and we're very excited about who we're coaching. So that's the bottom line for us, and we'll go from there. At this point in time, this is one day news. It really is. As much as I hate to say it, we work extremely hard to get to this point, but we'll be on to something else. I'm sure you guys will be on to something else tomorrow, and we're going to move forward into that next process or that next development of your program. And there'll be something to talk about after the fact. But we're extremely excited about this class, and these guys you're going to see these guys play as true freshmen, a lot of them. And that's what's really exciting to me, because they have the mindset and they have the athletic ability to do so. So we'll look to win some more championships, and we'll take it from there.
So overall on signing day, Michigan State signed 19 players, including kicker Matt Coughlin, who will gray shirt and go on scholarship in 2017. Of the 18 going on scholarship right now, Rivals.com has slated that the average star rating for this overall class is a 3.5, which is tied for number 13 nationally. Signing day in recruiting has become such a big event because of these high school kids over time that have certainly built up an impressive resume. And we all know, this is a big day. This is a big day for college football programs across the nation, because this is when you set a foundation for the future. These are a lot of kids who will be playing and will be the stars of the squad, maybe not if not immediately, and maybe the next 2 to 3 years. And you got to have that product continuously rolling through your program, or you will not succeed and you will not compete at the highest level, at least, and compete for national championships, which is what Mark D'Antonio and his coaching staff has let known that they want to do. They want to compete for championships, and they certainly did that this year, making the college football playoff. But I just think that it's become so overblown, so overhyped for a bunch of high school kids who we have yet to see on the college football field. So why has it become such a spectacle? Why out in Ann Arbor did we see Tom Brady, Derek Jeter, amongst other celebrities, announcing the latest 2016 Michigan football recruiting class? Well, in Mark D'Antonio's eyes, it's because of us, the media. Check out this.
It's part of what you guys do. You sensationalize. Okay? And I think that's what's happened. You have media, social media has sensationalized everything. So I think that's the natural trend probably in everything right now. It's not like it used to be. It used to be that you went out and you recruited guys, and you really, the depth of what you did, the quality work that you did was after their senior season, that you went out and you recruited those guys after their senior season based on what they did as a senior. Now what you find is a lot of players being recruited after their junior year, sophomores. He's a 2019 guy, and although we did offer, we did technically say, hey, we knew Theo Lacusa was going to be an offer athlete, let's put it that way, in the ninth grade. We knew that. And we stayed with him throughout that process and developed a relationship with him. But I think that over the course of time, recruiting has become accelerated. So now what happens is that guy who's had that great senior year, he sort of gets overlooked a little bit. And then all of a sudden, after his senior year, people go back on him and say, wow, look at this guy. And the recruiting reaccelerates. I think there's – college football is extremely popular. There's a lot of hype, and it should be. There should be a lot of that. It's extremely popular. And what allows you to become a good football program is, part of it is definitely recruiting. The other part's development, coaching, stability, continuity, those type of things. Certainly you've got to have players, and so it's a big part of it. So I think it's natural it gets sensationalized, and you've got a lot of sports networks picking up on it, and I'm sure it used to be like that before too. They just didn't talk and write about it.
And I think Mark D'Antonio hit the nail right on the head. The reason why recruiting has become so big over the years is because of what I'm doing right now, talking about it over the airwaves. What we saw yesterday, I mean, the Players Tribune of Derek Jeter producing a full on, all on production, live streaming an event of that magnitude and bringing in celebrities and just putting it out there in the media, writing about it. It intrigues us. It intrigues us. You know, the things that we don't know about the unknown, I always say, is intriguing because you don't know the outcome. You don't know what's going to happen with these recruits who are coming in. These are all prospects, you know, 3-star, 4-star, some of them even 5-star. And you look at these prospects and you look at the organization which they are coming into, like a Michigan State, for example. Michigan State, currently on a 65-17 stretch, which is absolutely ridiculous, since 2010. And you look at the success that Mark D'Antonio has been able to have since he has become the head coach of this program, and you sit there and wonder, okay, how has he been able to do this? Huh. Well, recruiting has to be a big, you know, deal in this whole thing. You have to be able to get some of the big-time recruits and turn that talent and develop it over time. Well, how is he doing this? So then that gets you in the door, and you start thinking, okay, well, recruiting. You have to be good at recruiting in order to succeed in the college football world. So then you look at classes that come in, and you try and pick and choose which one of them are going to be stars. That is intriguing. It certainly is. And the college football world is intriguing. Just look at the ratings for the college football playoff, and just look at how much fanfare is involved in that whole thing. It's become pretty crazy. And this is something I also want to bring up, Isaac, because I found this to be, and it was said very quickly. I don't know if a lot of people caught it, but I found this to be the most intriguing part of Mark D'Antonio's entire press conference. And that was when he talked about de-recruiting. Now, if you guys don't know what de-recruiting is, it's sort of putting in perspective that once you do land a recruit, once that recruit signs on the dotted line, after the whole fanfare of trying to woo this recruit, trying to wine and dine this recruit, once he's been on campus and on visits, here's our facilities. Look at this. We're sponsored by Nike. Oh, you may start when you come here. Try, you know, selling pipe dreams to this individual recruit. Well, you know what? Once he signs that national letter of intent, in many ways, you have to humanize that recruit and put in perspective that, all right, you now don the green and white jersey. Hey, young fella, it's time to put in work. It's time to hit the weight room. It's time to put in perspective that this is how you become what we sold you on when you were going through your recruiting process. It's the process of de-recruiting. You've built this recruit up. It's time now to tear him down a bit and put things in perspective. I found that to be so intriguing. And he was specifically talking about, you know, just overall, the recruiting methods when it comes to de-recruiting an individual, when it came to a guy like Donnie Corley, who's arguably the most highly talented recruit out of this entire list, wide receiver coming out of Detroit King High School. But yeah, that's the other process to it. Once you build these kids up, Isaac, I mean, how do you tear down and make sure the head isn't too big once you start putting them to work for your program?
Well, when they come over, they're treated to hundreds of dollars of worth of dinners, gear, apparel, whatever you want. And it just looks all glamorous, all perfect. And when they come here, you've got to understand, this year, there were, let's see, MSU had, 19 commits, I believe. That's a lot of people. So everybody was promised these same things, all these great amenities, the chance to go higher up. Once they come here, you have to tell them, listen, you're part of a team now. We don't care about anything besides Rose Bowls, championship wins, whatever it is. All we want to do is win football games and garner support and recognition for our program's accomplishments. Whereas these recruits, they come in and they think it's all going to be about them. So you have to tear them down, just like you said. So I think that's really insightful from Mark D'Antonio. It was probably smart, too, to wait to say that. until
oh, no, you can't
after the recruit.
Yeah,
signed.
You no, you'll find no coach saying, "Yeah, now we have to de-recruit now." I mean, yeah. and I like the way he put it because yeah, I mean, you're not going to be fed grapes and get your feet massaged like you were during your recruiting process, all right? You
exactly.
got to put in work now. I mean, you're not going to be treated like a king like you were treated. We were trying to woo you. Now you're a part of this program. Let's start to build something now. Before we hit our first break, Isaac, let's get to a few callers we have waiting. Let's go on line one right now. First, we've got Kirk from Grand Ledge. Kirk, how you doing, brother?
Doing just fine, Al. How are you?
I'm fantastic. What's on your mind?
Well, let me first talk about that whole de-recruiting piece. You know, that's also a fine line that a coach has to put in because the bottom line is some of your best recruiters are going to be your players on your squad. When you get kids coming in, high school kids coming in, and they're talking to other players, if the message they get from the players currently on your squad is, yeah, coach was great in my living room on his official visit, but once I got here, he was a major jerk kind of thing, then you're going to have some struggles in the recruiting process. So that whole de-recruiting piece is a fine line for coaches to walk on. Yep, players got to come in, they got to work, they got to know the expectation, but you know what? They better have laid that groundwork in the whole recruiting process to start with. Otherwise, you're going to alienate a lot of players, and then they're not going to help you recruit the next batch. You know what I mean?
Exactly. And, you know, from a moral standpoint, I'm sure D'Antonio, throughout his recruiting process, he lets them know that. I mean, it's not always going to be sunshine and rainbows. When you come here, you're going to have to put in work and be a part of the system. Simple as that. I mean, yeah, and without a doubt. If again, when you have players who have gone through the recruiting process and you're using those players to reach out, and when those recruits talk to those current players, yeah, they have to have a good rapport with them in order for that recruit to say, okay, Michigan State is the fit for me, or any school for that matter.
Okay, so now I want to switch over to the signing with the stars thing and the idea that it's going to suddenly run rampant through all of college football and other schools are going to do it. There is a flip side to this kind of event, and you got to be very careful. And the example I use is that a guy on the Big Ten Network right now by the name of Jerry DiNardo used to be the head coach down at LSU.
Mm-hmm.
And he was one of the first guys to really hype up his recruiting class. They would hold their signing day announcements in their gymnasium where the basketball team played, in their field house, and would hype it all up and stuff. And what that does is it raises expectations for everybody around you. So then what happens is after you've hyped up these recruiting classes and things, and you suddenly have an injury-plagued year, which DiNardo did down there and went 3-8, guess what? He was unemployed because everyone was going, you said these guys were the greatest things since sliced bread. You
right,
know, how come
right.
we're 3-8? So
exactly.
There is a flip side to this equation. So people got to be careful.
Yeah, it's a fine line. I tell you, that's a recruiting world for you. Kirk, great insight. Appreciate your call.
Take care, Al.
All right, you do the same. Thank you. Let's go to line two. We haven't heard from this brother in a while. Apachu, how you doing, brother? Welcome to the show.
Thank you, man. I've been in Iowa.
Not really?
I was campaigning for Donald Trump. I was the guy dressed like a clown on the street corner. And my sign said, vote for race to Donald Trump.
Stop. But, I know that's not true. How you been, though, man?
I've been good. I want to say that... you're right, man. You're very, I think you're very honest and humble in saying that we got a new trend set. It's another form of the arms race with the, just like the basketball arenas, the football arenas, the jumbotrons and all that. I think several teams, like Isaac was saying, not everybody, because they can't do it, but several teams are going to do that. But Michigan may not have to do it again. They got to do something to stop Alabama from dominating the best players in the country.
Mm-hmm.
And this may be a way to do it to start off with. As far as D'Antonio, he ain't worried about it. As long as he's upset, you got a problem. You know what I'm saying? He just seems to play better when his back is up against the wall.
He thrives
and,
off it.
He gets his players. So he got a little bit of a attitude making a big deal about it. Here he is. He's done all these great things all these years consecutively. And, like, he ain't getting the recognition, respect that he deserves. And you got a new guy on the block. And, yeah, it was a party. But it may have worked. But anyway, I refuse to believe there's a big difference between number one and number 50 in anything. But every once in a while, you get a Cam Newton and a Reggie Bush, okay? And they make a big difference. And we see where Cam Newton is right now. and Reggie Bush is probably in the Hall of Fame. Every once in a while, out of that big batch, you know, you get some players that are good and very good and some that are very, very special. And we don't know what's coming out of this batch for Michigan and Michigan State. You guys have come out with some great quarterbacks. I don't know how you did it. And they weren't highly rated or anything like that, to my knowledge. So there's an upside and there's a downside. I'm not sure if there's much of a downside except the pressure that that's being put on Harbaugh. But he's getting paid a lot of money, so that's pressure in itself. And he wants to win. He's hungry. He's very, very hungry. So I think it's a good thing. I remember being laughed at for the last 7 or 8 years. We were the joke of the country, the Michigan football program. And I kind of like this better, you know. Mm-hmm. People saying we're unethical and et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. We want to be winners. And I told you last year or the year before, man, that Jim Harbaugh is bigger than football. And it's very evident now. One more comment. You remember last year Jim Harbaugh wanted his kids to see American Sniper, the football team?
Yes, I remember that. Yep, they had a screen.
And there was a protest.
Yep, it
by
was.
The general student population.
Mm-hmm.
And I wonder if he wants his kids to see Concussion.
That's a good question. A very good question because, I mean, the whole situation was going on in the NFL right now and how that's really scaring a lot of current players, former players, and maybe future players of our youth, maybe deterring them from the game. Yeah, I don't know about you. Yeah, that's a really you know, thin line as well.
Anyway, man, I think they ought to get rid of the 16-game schedule and go back down to 12 and maybe get rid of one or two of those preseason games. In the All-Star game, like you said, nobody's watching it.
No,
you know, it's
nobody's watching it. Right.
You know, why not take what you can? There's so much money in this sport. And they said that, and I saw the film. It was crazy.
I did too. Yep.
You know what? I don't like that brother, but he was incredible. Will was incredible in this film, man. He really got my respect. That was incredible talent at acting. You know, he used to do all these ridiculous sci-fi movies and comedies and so forth, but this was some serious drama that I really appreciated him for, man.
He did a great job. He definitely did.
He did. But the thing that stands out is that, look, Sunday church has been replaced with Sunday football. And that is so true. That's some big money. That's some big, big money. But anyway, hey, man, keep on pushing, man. Like hearing you guys.
Hey, you know it. Appreciate Apashu. Great call as always, my man. And that's a great segue into our guest for today's Current Sports, which we'll get to after this very brief break. When we come back, we'll be chatting with Mike Haynes, NFL Hall of Famer that played for the New England Patriots and LA Raiders, also a prostate cancer survivor. Don't go anywhere. You are listening to Current Sports. Welcome back to WKAR's Current Sports. I am your host, Al Martin. Folks, today is World Cancer Day, and I have the privilege of welcoming to the show right now former NFL cornerback who played for the New England Patriots and the LA Raiders, elected to the Pro Football Hall of Fame in 1997. He was diagnosed following a prostate cancer screening at the Pro Football Hall of Fame and now serves as the spokesperson for the Know Your Rights campaign, speaking on their behalf to educate and encourage men to be proactive about their prostate health. Mike Haynes, welcome to Current Sports. Mike, how you doing?
I'm doing great. So you're right. I was at a screening, but I want your listeners to know that you cannot find out at a screening if you have prostate cancer. Only thing you can really do is they can take your blood test, they can give you a digital rectal exam, they can do things like that. But the only way to find out if you actually have it is through a biopsy. So I didn't find out that way, but my education started at the Pro Football Hall of Fame at that screening. The statistics that they gave me there, that 1 in 6 at the time men would be diagnosed with prostate cancer in their lifetime. Now it's 1 in 7. But the one that really got me was that 1 in 5 African-American men would be diagnosed with prostate cancer in their lifetime. And if it ran in your family, 1 in 3. So I knew my grandfather died of something, but I wasn't really sure. I found out later that it was cancer. And so when I got back home, I called my primary care doctor. He looked at my chart, compared it with the information that I shared with him that I learned at the screening, and said, well, Mike, since you are African-American, let's get you the biopsy. And unfortunately, or maybe fortunately, since we caught it early, the biopsy came back positive. I had cancer in the 9 of the 12 places that they checked on my prostate.
Oh, my goodness. Now, Mike, when you talk about your battle with this disease, I want to first off ask this question, because especially I'm African-American myself, and I always bring this up to the African-American males in my family. Mike, they just don't like to go to the doctor. Why don't men go to the doctor? That's kind of really the root of this whole conversation as well.
Well, I'm glad you said that. I don't really know the answer, but the reason I became the spokesperson was because so many African-American men are will die from the disease. And the reason they die is because if you wait until you have a symptom, it's oftentimes too late. And African-American men are waiting till it's too late. And it's a simple thing to do. It's a simple blood test. It's a simple digital rectal exam. If you know it runs in your family, you are crazy if you're not talking to your doctor when you're 35, 40 years old and have him just following your annual physical, just following what's going on in your body. Because prostate cancer is a cancer. When caught early, it's 100% treatable. It's curable. I'm clean for more than 5 years. The likelihood that the cancer is going to come back is negligible. And it's crazy for guys who would take a chance and find out when there's a less of a chance of living and beating the disease when they have the option of finding out early. So that's really what our campaign is about.
Mike, you mentioned the word symptoms. What are the symptoms of prostate cancer?
Well, it's kind of confusing. That's why I say you got to know your family history, because some of the symptoms are the same symptoms that other diseases have, like waking up in the middle of the night, going to the restroom. Well, that could be sleep apnea. You might just have trouble with that. But one that is kind of common is you have a lower urine flow. So you have decreased urine flow is a better way of saying it, I guess. But things like that. But that may mean something else is going on in your prostate, not necessarily prostate cancer. The best thing you can do is have the conversation with your doctor and just stay on top of it, and know that there runs in your family that you might have to be super cautious about staying on top of it.
Now, you mentioned how, catching it early is the key. You don't want to catch it late. When it comes to that process, I mean, what are the success rates? And at what stage did you catch it at? And what is the stage where it may be a little too late?
Well, I actually caught it early. I was 55 years old when I caught it. Totally just by being there and at that screening, that led to an education that, scared me enough to talk to my doctor. I found out later that I did have a decreased urine flow, but I wasn't aware of it until I actually had my prostate removed and treated my prostate cancer. Because as you get older, you have a decreased urine flow anyway. Mm-hmm. But when I didn't have a prostate, I was like, wow, I couldn't believe the difference. So that's really probably one that maybe I should mention as a symptom. Another symptom is that it hurts. It can hurt, be very painful when you have an orgasm. Like for a lot of men, at least when it happened to me, because that was one symptom that I had that I'll never forget. Mm-hmm. I thought it was because I hadn't had sex with my wife in a long time.
Right.
And so I thought, well, it's been a while. What do you expect?
Right.
But now I know that's crazy. I was on a show here at the Hall of Fame last year, and I mentioned that, and it was one of these call-in shows, and the lines lit up when I said that. So evidently there's a lot of men out there that are having issues like that.
Exactly. And since you've been a part of the Know Your Stats campaign, I mean, Mike, when you've been on this tour, I mean, what success stories have you heard throughout this whole thing?
Well, I've heard a lot of success stories, but the stories that I hear more often are – the stories of men not speaking up. And, you know, so for instance, a father died of prostate cancer. The older brother had his prostate removed when he found out he had prostate cancer. The younger brother, he is now about to have his prostate removed. And when he finds out that he has the prostate cancer and it runs in families, well, he calls his older brother. And he says, hey, I want you to know that it runs in families. He goes, oh, yeah, I had my prostate removed 2 years ago. So the older brother, when he found out about it, he didn't think enough to call his younger brother to tell him.
Oh, boy.
You know, and so men don't talk. And that's one of the reasons that, you know, we're trying to change that. That's what our whole campaign is about, is men need to speak up. I try to encourage other survivors to speak up, especially during the month of September, which is Prostate Cancer Awareness Month, to talk about their experience because they might be saving the life of someone else. But for some reason, the guys are quiet, and I'm no different than anybody else. When the doctor told me I had prostate cancer, I told my wife, don't tell anybody. Don't tell my mom. Don't tell the kids. Don't tell anybody.
So you were ashamed of it.
Well, I don't know why men are that way, but I was just a typical man. But the moment I spoke to somebody, totally by coincidence, I was on an airplane, the person I talked to was a woman who was an oncology nurse. And then she asked me questions. She said, what's your Gleason? I said, my Gleason is 6. And she goes, oh, good, you caught it early. You've got plenty of time to make a good decision. She gave me a lot of comfort. And so I try to now talk to men about prostate cancer. And one of your questions was, how do you know if you catch it kind of too late? Well, 6 means that we caught it early. And the Gleason score is a way to tell how aggressive your cancer is. Mm-hmm. 6, we caught it early. 8? That's a little bit in the danger zone. You know, that's a little bit in the danger zone that you really don't know. 7, like a lot of men, when they get it at 6, they'll wait because one of the treatment options is, because it's such a slow-growing cancer, hey, I'm just going to watch it and maybe do nothing. So when it gets to 7, they might decide to do what I did when mine was 6. But if they, you know, wait when it's to 8, you're crossing the line right there where you may not have the outcome that you could have had if you had caught it earlier.
Oh, this is fantastic information that I hope is going to be very valuable to some of our listeners out there. Mike, before we get you off, we only got 2 minutes left. Really briefly, at what age should men start getting prostate exams?
Well, if it runs in their family, the AUA, the American Urological Association, recommends men starting to have that conversation with their doctors when they're about 40. If it doesn't run in your family, you can just wait until you're in your 50s, 50, 55, and somewhere in there because, again, it's not a rapid-growing cancer for the most part. It's a slow-growing cancer. And so that's the recommendation of the AUA anyway.
Mike, how can people out there find out more information about the Know Your Stats campaign, brother?
Well, we have a website, knowyourstats.org. And a lot of frequently asked questions there, a lot of information, even ways to get in contact with me if that's what they want to do.
There you have it, Mike Haynes, NFL Hall of Famer who played for the New England Patriots and L.A. Raiders, also prostate cancer survivor. Mike, thanks so much for your time today.
I appreciate you giving me the opportunity to talk about it.
Without a doubt. Gotta love that. Very valuable stuff. And we'll be sure to put more information about the Know Your Stats campaign on our Facebook page at facebook.com/currentsports. World Cancer Day. Boy, really, really touching one again. One that affects me directly with my grandfather. He had prostate cancer. You better believe when I do hit the big 4-0, I'll be getting checked out. All right, there you have it, Mike Haynes. Thanks so much to all of you out there for tuning in to today's Current Sports with me, Al Martin, right here on WKAR AM 870 East Lansing. Take care. Same time, same place tomorrow, folks. Be easy, people.